welcome to today's podcast, Design for Life. This is the second in the series titled, How to Avoid an Aimless Life. Life wasn't created at a whim, nor should it be lived that way. This podcast is taken from Pastor Jim Irwin's Sunday message. It is designed to strengthen the believer's walk and those who have not come to faith to recognize God has designed life to be lived with purpose. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. We are going to be looking at calculating risks. Here is Pastor Jim with this week's message.
There are some good lessons to pick up from 2020. Some of you came into 2021 with hands raised, cheering, glad to be out of the old year. Some of you limping, pretty beat up. It was not that easy of a year. And we may have left a few behind in 2020. But I suggested that if we're going to avoid living aimless lives, we would do well, first of all, to look behind us, to look back, and to wrestle with regret, to identify those things that we did or did not do. Thankfully, as Christians, God has given us a way to remedy our regrets. It is via repentance, the forgiveness of sins. But many things that we regret that weren't necessarily sin, oftentimes it's the regret of what we did not do. Not so much what I did, but what I did not do. And in that case, God has given you the opportunity and me as we look into a new year to restitute the past. To take what I didn't do and move it into a new context of a new year. We've got to overcome inertia. There's so many things that hold us back, that keep us down. They want to anchor you. They want to anchor me in the past. And I suggested that if we're going to overcome an aimless life, we need to make frequent midlife adjustments whenever possible to restitute them in the present and future. This morning, in order to avoid an aimless life, I want to suggest that you and I consider what is worth taking aim at. What are you looking to, looking for? What are you aiming at in 2021? And is it worth shooting or not? What's it going to cost? That is, in fact, what I think all of us ought to be questioning ourselves is what's worth doing in life and what does it cost to do it? What are my chances of success? To talk about those things, I want to talk about risk this morning. Next week, we'll talk about charting our course accordingly. Let's think for a few minutes about risky living. The fact is life-threatening. Have you noticed that? Living is risky business, maybe now more than ever. There's all kinds of obstacles and opposition that you and I must overcome in order to press forward in life. By definition, a risk is something that exposes us to danger or to difficulty and even to potential loss. Danger, as I suggested, living itself is life-threatening. There's suffering and sickness and dying out there, if you haven't noticed. All kinds of possibilities, good and bad, waiting for you and I as we exit the door every day. As somebody said long time ago in a commercial, it's a jungle out there, in case you haven't noticed. I always liked the one that went like this. I wake up in the morning and I dust off my wits. I pick up the paper and I read the obits. If my name is missing, then I know I'm not dead, so I eat a quick breakfast and I go back to bed. Anybody had a day like that here lately? It's not worth it. I'm going to stay in bed today. You know what? Risks are instructive. I want you to think about that for a moment. The things that you risk doing can tell us something about you or about me. They're instructive. They reveal values. They require faith. They represent rewards. Risks reveal values. What you're willing to risk tells us what you believe is important in life. Jesus frequently called men to risk everything in order to follow him. Let me ask you, was it worth it? Could he or that be so valuable that a person would leave everything behind in order for the exposure, the opportunity to walk with Jesus Christ? Follow me, he told his disciples, and I will make you, finish the verse, fishers of men. Boy, the women were louder on that one than the men. Fishers of men. They were fishers of fish. Jesus was going to reorient their lives so that suddenly their lives would capture people for God and his kingdom. What could be a greater venture than that? Eternal consequences. Change the destinies of others simply by relating your faith to them and their life. Risks require, or reveal, values. The men who chose to follow him to this day, those who choose to follow him, would tell the world it is a value to me. And I'm willing to take him at his word, to follow him. It's worth risking. Risks require faith. At the same time, Hebrews 11, 1 and verse 6 is following. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. Faith has to do with future, what I hope for. I don't know what's going to happen in 2021, neither do you, but I'm hoping, aren't you? I'm going to step up to the future with faith and act accordingly. But it also has to do with the present invisible. Things that are already here, I just don't see them, i.e. God, the spiritual reality, requires faith. And so risks require that you and I trust that we depend on something or someone. I would hope ultimately on God. Risks are instructive. They reveal values. They require faith. They represent the rewards, the potential that you and I have for accomplishing something. For that reason, they're reasonable. There's a payoff. There's a benefit to those. Again, in the spiritual context with Jesus Christ, seek first the kingdom of God, he said, and the reward, finish the verse, all these things will be added to you as well. We tend to reverse the equation, don't we? We go after all these other things. And boy, if we have enough time or if we happen to have, we might seek the kingdom. Finally, seek first, and there's a reward that follows. I like the way James explains it with faith. He says, the testing of your faith is productive. What does it produce? Perseverance, character, hope. It develops you into the kind of person that you really want to be. But you cannot become that without faith, without exercising your faith. Easy example, 2021. How many of you would like to shed a few pounds? Don't raise your hand. It probably won't happen without exercise. Likely not. Unless you assert yourself. In a similar sense, God says you've got to assert your faith. You've got to exercise your faith. But that's productive. It's going to produce in you character, the kinds of qualities that you've always wanted to attain. Last week, I alluded to what's called the Georgetown Theory, University of Georgetown, in a study studying happiness in people. And they correlated happiness, among numerous things, with those who were willing to take risks. Isn't that interesting? The happiest people, they found, were those who had something worth investing themselves in. They had a reason or a purpose for living. And they were willing to live accordingly. Happy are those who dream dreams and are willing to pay the price to make them come true. Happiness. I think it's a byproduct of faith, of risk, as we've defined it here. You've heard about the guy who was walking across the desert looking for water. And by chance, he comes across, out in the middle of nowhere, a hand pump with a bucket and a note. Fortunately, the bucket was full of water. He had all the water he could drink right there. But there was a little note that said, "Please pour the water down the wellhead and pump, and you will be able to fill the bucket and have water to spare." I don't know, what would you do? If you're famished with thirst, middle of the desert, would you drink the water? Or would you risk pouring the water, priming the pump, and you could have water without end? That's the risk, isn't it? Every farmer in the county, come spring, will take that risk. What are we going to do this year, fellas? We got all these bags of seed. We going to eat the seed? Or are we going to plant it? Boy, that's a risk, isn't it? We eat the seed, we've got enough food here for the year. If we plant the seed, we could have enough food for forever. You got to take the risk in order to get the reward. That's the way faith operates. I believe that's what God would like to do in your and my life. But the fact is, human nature oftentimes pulls away from those kinds of challenges, don't they? Risks, taking chances. We gravitate naturally towards comfort and ease. We'd like something for nothing, if possible. We take shortcuts. We'll do it the easy way. And so we've invented easy chairs. Anybody have one at home? And we like to hang out in our comfort zone. Don't ask me to do something outside of it. And now, I guess you can go to places called safe spaces. Isn't that great? Because Americans are looking for risk-free, easy, comfortable lives. The high American ideals of courage and perseverance and hard work have progressively been replaced by what someone I think has well defined as the top values in American culture today: comfort and convenience. Hey, you want to make some money? Got a little venture for you here. Figure out how to make something, anything, more comfortable or more convenient and market it. And I guarantee people will buy it in our culture. Comfort and convenience. Someone once said, a ship in the harbor is safe. But that's not what ships are made for. A ship in the harbor is safe. That's not what you were made for. There comes a time when you and I have to make a decision between safety and significance. And I'm going to suggest that significance always has a higher value in God's domain, in the kingdom of God. That's exactly what he's calling you and I to. Not so much comfort and convenience, because it's not comfortable and convenient to be a Christian. It never has been in any generation. But rather significance. Jesus is calling you and I to pick up not the couch, but the cross, and follow him, if we're willing to take the risk. Jeremiah 12. Well, we've got to use our Bible this morning. Too many quotes here. Pick up your Bible if you have it. Find the book of Jeremiah. It's in the Old Testament. About mid mid-book there, Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah, this fiery prophet, preaching to, as they are described, an obstinate, stiff-necked people. Nothing like we in America today, thankfully. And God is, in a sense, I think, conditioning them for what is going to be a rough ride. They're gearing up for exile. They're going into exile. It's just a matter of time. And so Jeremiah, for 40 years, is pleading with God's people to trust him, to look to him. And he's already alerted the prophet. It's likely that no one will listen. Say it anyway. I've always liked this verse, Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. If you have raced with men on foot and they've worn you out, here's the question. How could you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? I think God's trying to toughen them up, and vicariously, I think he wants to toughen you up. Hey, man, this is an all-out race. Gear up. You can't race against men. There's no way you're going to race against horses. You can't walk safe in safe country. You'll never manage in the thickets by the Jordan. We live in what has been described as a soft society. And soft societies never produce strong leaders. Just don't do it. Every coach knows that. If you want to get your group, your team in condition, you got to work them beyond what they think they're able and demonstrate that they can do even more than they thought as a result. What is it that God uses to toughen up his people? Life. Have you noticed that? Difficulty, testing of our faith, as it's described in Scripture. And James promises it's productive if you'll be conditioned by it, if you'll allow adversity and opposition and challenges, risky situations. God will demonstrate his faithfulness in your life through it all. And so faith requires leaving, sadly to say, your comfort zone. There's no doubt as we look into 2021 that God wants to develop your faith. To do that, he's going to ask you, possibly repetitively, to step out in trust, to get outside of what is comfortable and convenient for you, and that for the sake of the kingdom. Isaiah, like Jeremiah, speaking to, again, an obstinate Israel, reminds them, if you do not stand by faith, you will not stand at all. It's going to have to be by faith. So what God is calling you and I to, I'm going to suggest in three senses, is to do hard things, to do new things, and even to do great things in 2021. Back in 2009, I don't know, maybe somebody read the book, a set of brothers, twins, the Harris brothers, Brett and Alex, wrote a book as teenagers called Do Hard Things. And they were leading what they called a rebellion against low expectations among teenagers. And several of my sons read the book. They were sorry they did. Because frequently I would quote to them from the book, come on, son, do hard things. I know, Dad, do hard things. You know, getting the message here. If nothing else, the title stuck. I think that's exactly the point. Why? For the sake of doing hard things? No, for the sake of the kingdom of God. It's not an easy venture. Let's not pretend it is. Let's not kid ourselves. Let's gear up and let's do what God has called us to do. In some cases, hard things. I want to suggest that you try new things. In a couple weeks, I'm going to promote a Bible reading program or campaign, I guess we could call it. I'm going to ask people to join me in reading through the Bible. Read through the Bible in 2021 and 2022. Old Testament, New Testament. 3 to 4 chapters a day. 15 to 20 minutes a day. That's an ideal. That's a great opportunity, isn't it? And for those who've never read through the Bible, you better get busy. Because someday you're going to die and you're going to go to heaven and you're going to run into these authors from the Bible. And as you're meeting them and discussing things, they're going to say, hey, by the way, did you read my book? You know, Zephaniah and these Old Testament guys. And you cannot lie in heaven. I'm going to guarantee that. You're going to have to tell the truth. Better get started. Heads up, we're going to pull you in that direction here in just a few weeks. That may be something new for you, to set aside 15 to 20 minutes a day to read what is the world's all-time bestseller. It's the most powerful book of history. There's no book that has been banned from countries more than this book. We take for granted. You've got 3 or 4 of these sitting around. But generations past could only imagine that opportunity to have what you and I take for granted. Access to the written words of God and the power, the potential that they represent if you'll just take time to read it. It's like a supermarket. Every time you walk into the supermarket, there's no shortage of nutrition, of food, but it'll do you no good to walk through, even to fill your cart, if you don't unpackage the item and eat it yourself. It's here for you to unpackage and to devour for yourself. 2021, do hard things. Try new things. Take risks. And finally, I want to suggest that you accomplish great things. The disciples of Jesus Christ were told in the New Testament from time to time got into squabbles. They had their issues with one another. Possibly like some of our issues with one another. And Jesus, on more than one occasion, had to solve an argument between them. The most likely scenario was that they would argue about who was the greatest disciple. I am. Oh, no, you're not. I am. I mean, I'm the one that was in the boat with him that day. Well, yeah, well, that's nothing. I got to... And finally they asked Jesus, Lord, who's the greatest of us? Let's just let you settle it once and for all. And he said, the greatest among you is, they didn't expect it, the least, and the servant. You want to be great? He didn't scold them for their desire to be great. That's innate in human nature, to want to develop and excel as a person. You want to develop and excel as a person? The way up is down. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Even as the Son of Man, the greatest, came not to be served, but what? To serve and to give his life as a ransom for others. There's true greatness. And what God wants to do with you in 2021 is something great. He wants to give you opportunities to give of yourself on behalf of others, just like the Savior. Paul, in the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, says it like this, the greatest of these is love. That's where it's at. There's nothing greater. These three remain, he says, but on top, no doubt, is love. Love is simply a genuine concern for the well-being of another. And you and I do greatly, great things when we take genuine concern on behalf of someone else and not necessarily ourselves, even to the point of sacrificing, as love willingly does. Faith requires leaving your comfort zone, taking risks, doing hard things, trying new things, and maybe even accomplishing great things in the future. Now, you know and I know that fear and faith cannot coexist. Fear and faith are counteractive with one another. They cancel out one or the other. If you feed your fears, you'll starve your faith. And boy, you only have to turn on the TV these days to feed your fear. Have you noticed that? Many of you are nerved up after the nightly news and then nightmares, and you get on social media to try to calm things down, and it's only worse, fanning the flames. Well, if you feed your fears, you'll starve your faith. But the opposite is also true. If you take time to feed your faith, you starve your fear. Fear of what? Well, fear of death, the great nemesis of every human being. This pandemic just accents that with statistics and daily death tolls and surges promoting fear everywhere. Not faith, fear. We've talked about the fear of fear here before. Panic syndrome. My suggestion, again, is turn off the TV and stay off social media if you want to overcome the fear of fear. It's just too easy to get caught up in that whirlwind. But the one that really occurs to me as we think about the future, making decisions and ultimately taking risks, is the fear of failure, the fear of failing. Cancels faith in all kinds of people's lives. Well, I'd like to suggest to you that the best way to never fail is to never try. The best way to never fall is to never move. The best way to never lose is to never risk. If you never risk, you'll never lose. If you never move, you'll never fall. If you never try, you'll never fail. But you and I know you'll never accomplish anything of lasting value either. It's better to fail at a cause that will ultimately succeed than it is to succeed at a cause that will ultimately fail. It's better to love God and die unknown than to love the world and be a hero. It's better to be content with poverty than to die a slave to wealth. It's better to have taken some risks and lost than to have done nothing and succeed at nothing. It's better to have lost some battles than to have retreated from the way. It's better to have failed when serving God than to have succeeded when serving the devil. Far better it is to dare mighty things, win glorious triumphs, even though checkered with failures, than to rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy much nor suffer much because they live in the gray twilight that knows neither victory nor defeat. The fear of failure. Don't fear failure. Fear the opportunities you might miss if you never try. I was always impressed with Jack London's credo. How many of you remember or have read anything of Jack London's? One of the first books my mom read to me as a kid, Call of the Wild, that was the end of it. From that point on, I knew I had to answer the call. Jack London, White Fang, all these wolf and book stories. He died in 1916. Not long before his death, he penned these words, "I would rather be ashes than dust. I would rather that my spark should burn out in a brilliant blaze than it should be stifled by dry rot. I would rather be a superb meteor, every atom in me in magnificent glow, than a sleepy, permanent planet. The function of man is to live, not just survive. I shall not waste my days trying to prolong them. I shall use my time. That's a great credo. We would do well to, in like sense, consider the same. What is it that keeps us in the comfort zone? Boy, again, it's that fear so often of failure. Paralyzes people from taking risks. Ship in the harbor is safe. Oh, but that's not what ships are made for. Jesus repetitively casts out fear from people's lives. Fear not. The number one command that Jesus gives his disciples. I would have thought it would have been, read your Bibles, go to church, hurry up, all the time. He's happened to tell these big strapping men, don't be afraid. Only believe. He counters fear with faith. Let not your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Trust in God. There's the remedy. And that's going to require risk as you step out in faith in obedience to God. In order to avoid an aimless life, you and I need to conjure up the courage to risk, to do hard things, to try new things, and eventually to accomplish great things. Not for the sake of simply taking chances. I would never suggest that. Just a risky lifestyle. Doesn't make sense either, does it? But for the sake of the kingdom of God, I'm willing to take my chances. And if necessary, risk everything. Jesus said the kingdom's like a treasure hidden in a field. And a man, upon discovering the treasure, hides it. He goes home. And what does he do? He takes a huge risk. He takes his chances with the treasure by selling everything he has in order to buy the field and possess the treasure. That's how valuable what God is offering you and I is. And as he and I suggested earlier, if you'll seek first his kingdom, if you'll make that priority one in 2021, I think God can handle the rest of the details of your life just fine. If you'll trust him. If you'll trust him. Looking back over 2020, assessing some of the things that went well and others that didn't, looking forward into 2021 and asking myself, what am I willing to do and at what cost? Take the risks if necessary in order to follow faithfully the Savior. We are gearing up for another kingdom assignment. How many of you remember the kingdom assignment a year or so ago that we did? I've been trying to sell this thing, and the pandemic has been shutting me down every month. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to call our kingdom assignment to Dare to Care. And the dare or the challenge that I'm asking you to consider, to take the risk, is to genuinely care for someone else, or perhaps for several others. To dare to care. Hang in there with me. You'll hear more about it. But in essence, I'm going to ask you to get on board with something that we clarified last year. We believe for our church and this congregation is normal. It's normative. It should be true of all of us. That if you and I are Christians, that we've determined we're going to live the life, the Christian life, on a daily basis, we're going to walk with God. That we are determined to be the church of Jesus Christ, the real live people of God, working together like a body as it's analogized in Scripture, according to the design of Him, with fellowship and worship and accountability, discipleship. And then finally, number three there, we've determined we want to extend the kingdom. that there's a reason that you're not in heaven today. Because God has more for you to do on earth. Can't tell you how many times I've heard that as we walk away from a close call in somebody's life, you know, surgery or whatever at the hospital. Well, God must have more good theology. I want to ask you, what is it that God has for you to do? Perhaps it's the only thing that you could do that no one else could. If you'll trust him, he'll employ you to extend his kingdom. Next week, let's think more specifically about how we could do that. Corporately as a church, let's chart our course for 2021. Virus or no virus, let's keep moving forward. But also personally in your own life, what God might specify for you. In 1519, Hernan Cortez, Spanish explorer, outfitted some ships in Cuba in order to explore the coast of Mexico. As the story goes, when he arrived at the coast, he ordered the men to remove all the fittings and cannons and ammunition and machinery from the ships. And then he sent a boat out to the ships to burn them in the harbor. Must have been an awful sight for those men that day as they stood there with their backs to a hostile continent, watching the only means of return to their loved ones and families, to their homeland, sinking in the Gulf of Mexico. Cortez turned to his men and said this, "No hay retirada. No hay retirada. There's no retreat. No retreat. We're not going back that way. We came to conquer, conquistadores. We're going this way." I think that's the attitude with which Jesus Christ is enlisting you and I as followers today. No retreat. In order to do that, I've got to look back without regret. Got to be able to put the past behind me. I can learn from the past, but I'm not living in the past. And I got to move from the present into the future so that I can say no regrets, no reserves. 100%, you can count on me, Lord, the best that I'm able. No retreat. Where you're at this morning, would you bow your head? Would you consider in your own life at this point what you're willing to risk on behalf of the kingdom of God? Can God count on you? In what sense? To what extent? I honestly believe God wants you to look back and say, no regrets. I think he wants you to look forward and say, no reserve, willing to give it all. And when it's all said and done, I think God wants you to be able to say no retreat. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning as we're wrestling with our own reality. As your word says, we are but dust. And boy, in some case, many cases, this past year has dusted us. Not been easy. But we are intentionally looking back and learning from what we've lived. Thank you that you've given us the capacity to release those regrets, confession, forgiveness of sins, but also at the same time to restitute decisions made or not made, to reconsider what our lives are about, and to make necessary mid-course adjustments in a way that we could better love, honor, and serve you this coming year. And so I pray for myself and I pray for each one of us that you would help us as we consider decisions, choices, and the risks involved, that we would rightly reason that it's worth it to give our lives fully unto you. That others would recognize your value by that decision in our lives. That our faith would be fortified, and as a result, we would see the reward, the good things that you want to do in and through us in our lives. Such a needy time as we're living in today. That's my prayer for myself and for each one, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the second in the series, How to Avoid an Aimless Life. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, let me encourage you to donate to this ministry. You'll find a donate tab at BethelGilead.org. Until then, go out and experience the design for life as God's ambassadors commissioned to a world in need of the gospel. God bless you.